1939.
Okay, so say we're going to...
That's me. That's mine.
Today, we want to hopefully wrap up our first foray into the sugya of Kinyan Dvarim. Okay? In other words, see, watch that. I'm the only one who's wearing this. The Kinyan Dvar. I can get fired, you can get fired. So, I can't get expelled, you can get expelled. Okay, so, Kinyan Dvar. So the question that we're looking at is, when is a Kinyan binding? So we are familiar with the Kinyan being binding, when I transfer an object, we understand that very well. Kinyan is binding, and we also know from the Rambam Perek Hey that sometimes a Kinyan is just a minog, and it doesn't really add to the halachic enforcement of something. So now the question that we're focusing in on from our sugya is, if I make a commitment to you to do something, and it's not necessarily, let's take a shvua out of this situation for a moment, because a shvua is bin adam lamakim. If I make a commitment, I make a commitment to participate in something. Right, I make a commitment to be a shutif with you. And this could be a situation, right? And I make a commitment that if you decide that we're going to be partners in some kind of venture, we're schmoozing about it over Kiddush, you say Nifta Shabbos Karet, so we think it's okay, and we decide to we're going to be partners, we're going to, I don't know, whatever it is, in some venture. And then, Matzoi Shabbos, you're very excited about it, and you make a huge investment, right? And you expect that I'm going to go halfway in the investment. Okay. And now comes Monday morning, and you say, by the way, place the order. And then I laid out some of the money, please, as soon as you can. I said, we were schmoozing over Kiddush. You know, we were talking about a possibility, right? We didn't sit down and really firm up that we're going to go into this. I'm not that liquid. I don't have the money. It's such a good idea. We should do market research first. So l'chora, in that case, I'm not bound. L'chora, in that case, I may want to go to Rav to find out what I do over here. Somebody took me so seriously. I may want to discuss Midas Chasidus, what's the right thing to do, whatever it is, right? So, I may want to do market research, find out if it's a good idea or not. So, but let's say one step further, that the Matzoi Shabbos, which was, we actually made a handshake, Matzoi Shabbos, made a Kinyan, right? Or we're schmoozing at a chosin sish, and we're standing next to the rabbi when he makes the Kinyan Suter, he says, let me borrow the Suter. Let's make a Kinyan Suter and then send this deal, right? So, so the question now is, have we advanced the level of commitment? At that point, do we say, he made a Kinyan of being a Shutif, what do you mean? So of course he can't walk back, he has to borrow the money. He's a co-owner of the beverage, the liquid. Let's go a step further. Luyat Suyer, the issue doesn't happen. I've had Dini Torah like this. I mean, not Dini Torah, not formal Dini Torah, but let's fast forward. And Shimon is a tzaddik. He put the money out the Matzoi Shabbos. He ordered the items, he ordered the widgets, right? They're inside themselves widgets, right? So he ordered the widgets, and then he sells the widgets. No, that's not what... So he sells the item, and he makes a significant profit. All right? Then a week later, And that whenever you make a profit, so then all of a sudden you look at things differently. So then I find out that this guy made a big profit on an idea we had during Kiddush. So I go over to him and I said, well, how much do I owe you? Because I know you, he said, owe me? It worked out very well, it worked out very well, Baruch Hashem. And we did shmooze over Kiddush, but you know, Matzah Shabbos, he didn't come with any money, it's been a week already, and I needed to invest already, so it's okay, I'm doing it on my own. I said, what do you mean? We're partners, we discussed it, right? So then again, there could be an issue of Vaisisa Yashara told me, this Chassidus, what's going on over here, to, you know, and a Beis, probably in that case, a Rav or a Beis, we have to figure out, you know, Mativa Shadvarim, who's really, what's the MS over here? Did the guy really intend to invest? Did he intend just to hold off to see what's going to be a good investment? Is he your best friend now because you made a lot of money? Well, he has to figure this out. Okay. That's why often you need a basin for that, because one Rav can't trust his own intuition. But that might all be in terms of Midas Chassidus. But let's say they made a Kenyan on it. And then Reuven never came, didn't come home with the money. He fishlapped it, he didn't think he'd make so much money so quickly. So this, I had, when I think about it, I had this situation a few years ago, that where there was a shutzfus, and they made significant amount of money, and then the senior partner said to the junior partner, I said, we weren't really shutzfin. We had a different kind of, you know, they both remembered their agreement differently. Almost all Dinei Torah that I've ever been on have always been because people trusted each other, and they shouldn't, because they were from people, and they didn't write a shtar. So they didn't write, they didn't have it written down. So that's people always have to Chacham Eina B'Roshe. Two, they could be the best friends. You write down what the agreement is, make a shtar, because people remember things differently. So, and it'll save their friendship. So, in this case, so then the senior partner said that wasn't the, it was an employee-employer, but that wasn't a partner relationship. Right. So the question we have right now is, so when is the Kenyan make the agreement binding? Or when is it a Kenyan Devarim? A Kenyan Devarim is not a binding agreement. A Kenyan is an expression of intent, but we haven't obligated each other with this Kenyan. All right, so it means we actually went through a formal kinyan, right? And would we be transferring property from one to the other? So then something happened over it, would be binding, but we didn't transfer property from one to the other. So now the kinyan that we made, is that a binding kinyan? Is that binding? That's the question on the table. What's a kinyan devarim is not binding, and a kinyan is binding. So the examples we have. The Torah, Ashutvin Shinisratu Lachloik Bedover Shein Boydin Chaluka, Yechidon Lachzer and Afilin Lokhu Bekinyan. Shekinyan Devarim Ba'almu. Our case, they, and this is Mufurish Gemara. Two neighbors decided that they are going to divide something. Right? And then one starts making significant investment. He buys lights for his side, he buys a tent for his side, he buys flowers for his side, and then the other guy says, I want to walk this back. Is there a Kenyan over here? Is there a commitment? So Rambam says, if they itemized the Kenyan, if they formalized, they said exactly what it was going to be. Right. In other words, if a Matzoi Shabbos and two guys got together and they actually identified which items they're going to buy, they went on a website and they identified. So then, that's no longer Kenyan Devarim. The Ovi Adoni Rosh Zal Kosev Dekai Gavne Kenyan Devarim Ba'al Mahu Elam Kein Birer Ze Ruach Poloini Vezer Ruach Poloini VeKonem Yodem Alzer. So the Rosh says it has to be more than that. It has to be not enough that they itemized the Rambam is Shezer Rotzer Ruch Ploini, Mizer Rotzer Ruch Ploini. That's the guy got the kid in the Ram Bamlu, Elam came beer, Zer Ruch Ploini, Zer Ruch Ploini, Vekonu, Miyodem Alze. Rambam's, the Rosh says there has to be not only an int, they say, this is what I would like, but they have to agree on exactly how they're dividing their property. So then it's already considered to be a kinyan and a kinyan devar. What's the distinction between shezer rotza beruach polonis and vizer bire beruach polonis? Achrayim disagree with the Torah whether this in fact is a machlekes rishonim. Hold on for a minute. Torah kuf nun zayin. Kosav harama. Umi yudavki dekonu midei de machayv litein kach v'kach. The derech haidohu. Inami derech shibo de shibet nafshalochi. V'lav kinyan devorimu. Avlim kondu miyodai loseis kach v'kach oi livnois kevan she'ein kinyan neufel alachiyam v'loi al gufam v'omoin elo ala nesina atzma v'nesina ein v'mamish elo masav v'oma v'kinyan devorim. So this is kinyan she'etain, right? First was kinyan lachleik. And the distinction between kinyan shelachlik ubirer. Next case, kinyan she'etein. That's the rayavid and the goyim. I make a kinyan. I'm gonna give something to you. Right? Happens. So you can, person's having a chasana, and one side says, you know what? I will take care. No one said the chatanim, but a relative says, I'll take care of the flowers. I'll take care of the musician, right? I will hire the singer, whatever, right? The kinyan she'etein. So he's specific. So then this relative is promised that for three siblings that didn't come through with it. So this time he said, "No, I'll make a kinyan on it. I know you don't trust me. I'll make a kinyan on it." All right. So now that he doesn't come through for the fourth sibling. So the question is, did anything change in making a kinyan? Kinyan she'ete. So that was the machlekes rav and goyim. Is that binding? Kinyan she'ete. Right? Could be in the case of shutfas also. One guy says, he makes a kinyan, this will be his participation. So is that kinyan binding? So look inside, the Ramah writes that davka dekonu minei de machayev liten kach v'kach de derech haidohu. It's only if he says he will give a specific amount, because that's the way a person admits to a commitment. That's why inami the derech shibud, or it's the way that I create a commitment. The shibed nafshalachi, the lav kinyan devarmu. Avolim konuminel says kafakachal livnes came when she'ain kinyan neifel alachiyov. But if he makes a kinyan that he will give a certain amount, I live nois, so he will participate in building it. Kamech and kinyan neifel alachiyev. So what's the chiluk between the two cases? The konu minei de machayev liten kach v'kach, or konu miyodei lo seis kach v'kach. What's the chiluk? Kamech and kinyan neifel alachiyev v'leil guf ha'momen Ela al nesina atzma va nesina ein ba mamish ela masa ba olma vikinyan devar umotzi hoder bay. The Gemara also describes the kinyan laseis aglav kinyan devar le mikinyan el misha konu miyodi lach like shate. Right, that's the machlokes between the rav and the goyim. Kinyan she'etin. What's the Ramah saying? Konu minei demechayev liten kach v'kach. As opposed to konu kinyan she'etein, what's the chiluk, Ari?
Kinyan's on the first case, the kinyan's regarding a specific chiluk. He specifying the mechayev liten kach v'kach, as opposed to just konu miyodim losis kach v'kach. Like, so, it's not on the money per se, it's more on the chiluk to pay the money.
Right. That's derech haida. What's derech haida? Haida means I can go to the basin and say, this is what the guy said. He self-incrimination. That's haida. Self, right? A person, I come with a shtar, and the guy says, I said I would do the, I would give him a certain amount of money. So that's kinyan, that's etting. He comes to the shtar and says, I obligated myself. I created a chiyah for myself. So that's the first line. The konami neidim achayev liten. Because that's the way people create commitments. So the difference between the first case and the second case, what the Torah says is clear. The Torah says that there's a machlokes with the kinyan she'etain is binding. All right. If you hold kinyan she'etain is not binding, so when do I create an obligation for myself? In other words, let's take the case of the partnership. In the case of we want to do business together. So how do I know? I'm willing to put out the lay out the money. I have the money. I can lay out the money, but I need to know that this person's going to cover for his half. So how can I create a chiyuv? So I know that if he's mechayiv himself to give a specific amount of money, if he's mechayiv, if he's meshabed himself, if he says he creates, I'm creating a lien, right? And then I owe you a certain amount of money, and you can collect from. Okay, so that would work. I owe you a certain amount of money. That is the kondom inay de mechayiv. That's a haidah. So that sounds like it'll work also. But you'd have to, according to the Ramah, you'd have to shift it. According to the second day, the Ravid, so a kinyan she'etain works. And according to Gaonim, it has to be a kinyan that I have a choyim. I am obligated. I owe you something. Not that I will do, but I owe you something. That's already a haidah. What's the chiluk between saying, I will give you $100 or I owe you $100? New go ahead.
Whether you're personally obligated.
Whether it's a shiva to go for not. Right? Whether there's some shiva, right? In other words, when I say kinyan she'etain, I'm not telling you what you can collect from. And in fact, you cannot collect from anything. If I say, I owe you, right? And then you can collect from something. Then you can, the basin can come and collect. Create a shibud. Right, so again, so we want to look at the so far in terms of trying to understand what is the turning point between a kinyan devarim and a kinyan eschal. So we know a kinyan lachloik, a kinyan livnois, that is a kinyan, that is a kinyan devarim. That was in Kufayin Gimel. Right? If it's a kinyan lachloik and he's mevarer sides, that already is, and that a kinyan kibichal. A kinyan she'etain is a machloikas. A kinyan that is chayiv, that's already a kinyan eschal. Okay, hold on for a minute. Rambam. Okay, I just want to be clear in terms of what everyone is familiar with the Torah, and its position in halacha. Good. Okay.
Rabbi, the Gaon has said that you have to have a shibud, while the Rav says you don't.
So I don't think the Gaon will spell it out. They just say the kinyan she'etain is not mechayev.
The Rav says it doesn't work
so much. Kishayirtzu ha'shutvin lishtatev b'mei yikneh kol echmein momin chaver lishtatev bo. Alright, this is the case I was raising before. Two partners. Is it also a recent situation like that where there was a partnership? And one of the and the principles of the partnership disagree as to how individually they have to be involved. So people decide, people that decide to do a project together. Project is very labor intensive, according to one partner. The other partner says, not so labor intensive. Right? One partner is saying, this project will only be successful if we put in 20 hours. The other partner says, no, I'm not talking about this. We'll be fine to do 5 hours. So one partner says he's putting in the 20 hours. Then the partner is putting 5 hours. So the 20-hour partner says, I want to split the partnership. 5-hour partner says, that was my idea and I think it's going to work. So in this case, they're both from, because of Yirei Shemayim, the 20-year partner says, we're going to see the deal through the way it is. Right? We're going to respect him, though they didn't make any stories or anything. I'm going to do what has to be done and we'll split. But once one of the projects is over, right, once we want to redo the project, right, so then the 20-hour guy says, I want to dissolve the partnership. The 5-hour guy is saying, what do you mean dissolve the partnership? So that becomes the issue of how I'm not even sure they even have a halachic partnership because they never made stories of kenyanim. So they're right of mitam midas chasidos and mitam sholem. They're doing what for people should be doing. But the gabbai going forward, there probably isn't a halachic shutfas. So then the. And Nias Daiti, I haven't brought it to the Rabbanu yet, but with Nias Daiti, at that point it becomes more of a question of the Midas Chassidus. Al Pidin, they probably can just part ways, finish. Midas Chassidus might be for the 20-hour guy to buy out the 5-hour guy, that kind of thing. So that's what the Rambam discusses. When does a partnership become a binding partnership? So clearly, if they both invest and put the money in, that's a kinyan in partnership. Then they're mechuyev to each other. But two partners decide they're going to pull together their resources, and then one wants to wait for the partnership. So did they have a kinyan or not? So the Rambam says that until they actually bring their materials together, so there's no kinyan in the partnership. Even if they have to actually deliver the money together. But even if they made a kinyan, that they're going to yovi zem meya vizem meya. Even if there's a set amount of money that they commit, they are going to pull together. Until they pull together, so then it's still a kinyan devar. V'chein kol atenom shemas mit onem b'neyen, avol pi shein be'edem v'shtar, im yeh kach o im tase kach, etein lechom mone, ekne lechom b'ayin zeh, v'im lo yeh leisas o yekne, any contingencies. The Rambam says that if there are contingencies, you could even have, and there are contingencies on something which I will do. So even if the contingency is fulfilled, it's still a kinyan she'ete. And here the Rambam spells out, as we discussed last week, every daite say mecha shema yeh, shema lo yeh. Because the kinyan she'ete, I don't know full smichas das. So here the Ram defines what a shita is. Why is a kinyan she'ete not good enough? Because there's no full commitment. Shchenim Perak Aleph. Kosheish b'neim shutus b'karka. Im ein bo din chaluka. So then when they cannot impose upon each other to divide. B'med v'amurvim b'she'ein echem en makim es chelke b'mokim she'en shutfen. So then they can't impose upon each other. Right? That's the Rambam's consistent with him saying, in bir chelkoi. So, if we can line up the sheetness now. So we want to understand, so what is the, how do we, if any question on the Torah, because somebody said you had difficulty with the Torah. Good Ephraim.
I have a question about the Adramah, who would say that if you specify the amount you're giving,
you mean the Ramah is quoted in the Torah?
Yeah.
Okay.
That if you specify the amount you're giving, even if it's not a, so that, oh, it's a kinyan she'etein, that would still work as a kinyan. Would the Gaonim agree with that, or the Gaonim be quoted?
I'm assuming they would agree with that, because that just, generally speaking, we don't like to make more machlekes than are there. So I'm assuming that the Gaonim who say that a kinyan she'etein doesn't work, they would say kinyan she'mechayev is after it would work. I can't prove it.
Well, the other one is saying that if you're even high, is it high based on the fact that you're specifying the amount?
No. He's saying the fact that I'm saying I owe you. The Gonim say, right, the Gonim say Kinyan She'etein does work, and the Rivets is a Kinyan She'etein does not work. Is that what you said before? The Gaonim say kinyan she'etein does not work, right? But a kinyan lechayev, I think we're saying that it would work.
I thought the Gaonim was saying that it was like a kinyan she'etein, just a specific amount, and that would be not.
Why not? Because the Torah goes on to say, as opposed to the Adramah, yet he says, Avam konu miyod elusis kach v'kach, v'nesine ein v'mamash elam ayis v'yam, motzi hodir bay. V'ikim erbosa, the sphere that he kinyan laseis, lav kinyan devarim hu. It is good, right? So it sounds like that the Ramah says that unless I'm mechayev myself, then it is the kinyan devarim. Ramah says davkem derech hayda lav kinyan devarim, but less than that, even if it's kach v'kach, it is the kinyan devarim. So according to the Ramah, the distinguishing feature, that which makes it into a binding commitment, is that I say, I owe you, create a shibud. Right? But a kinyan she'etein is not, I didn't create a shibud. I don't owe you anything. I'm obligating myself to do something. And the and then Vikamer Bosa, the Sphere Lady Kinyan Lesays, is a good kinyan. So we began with the Ravid saying that a kinyan she'etain is good, and the Gaonim say that the kinyan she'etain is not good. Right? So the Gaonim are saying a kinyan she'etain is still a kinyan devarim. The Ravid, a kinyan she'etain is a kinyan. The Ramah saying that a kinyan that I mishabed myself is good. So again, the right coming back to Ephraim's question now. The Gaonim say, again, the Ravid says that a Omer Shema Gaonim Ha'omel HaChaber Etein V'koni D'loi Mahanya. A Kinyan She'etein is not good. The Ravid says a Kinyan She'etein is good. So I'm assuming that the Gaonim would say a kinyan she'etin is not good, but a kinyan she'yishabed is good. That's two sheets. Alright? You got it?
Yeah.
Avram.
So, just on that point, first of all, what's the difference between, he says it's a sheba goof, but saying kanam yado vasis kapakach, is that not creating a sheba to give a certain amount? Whether that's I owe you, or I'm putting in my money as an investment, or whatever it is. It's still a sheba hagum. I'm still being mashabed myself to pay for something, even if it's not. I'm paying.
No. So that is exactly the point. So we haven't explained yet why creating a sheba would makes a difference. But there is a difference between saying I'm in for $200. I'm in for half the inventory. Or saying that in for the half the inventory, and I'm going to pay cash. If I don't have cash, I'll leave you three laptops. I'm creating a shiva na goof.
Right. And then what's the difference between rotsu and beer? You said you're
going to
explain that?
Rotsu and beer. So one is that the Rambam says that saying I'm interested in the north. So that the Rambam says since we have not identified that I am certainly we haven't decided how to divide, that makes it into a kinyan devarim. But if so, the Torah says, but if. Elam kain birer zeruch zeruch pliny. So the Rosh says that if we identify which sides we're getting, so then the kinyan lachloik works.
Versus one.
The kinyan lachloik, the kinyan to divide.
Versus the Rambam.
No, the Rambam says im konu biyod mishazer rosh zeruch pliny ein yicholim lachzer behen. Right, if we make a kinyan with a, and we express which side we want. So that would work. And the Ravid says you have to, expression of intent is not good enough. It has to be a decision that we're going to divide it in the following way.
So the Rambam disagrees with, the Torah says like, the Torah saying like the Ravid? Is that what you said? The Torah says just intent is not enough.
Whoa. Hold on for a moment, because shutas might be different. Right? Hold on for a minute. Simon?
Kind of also on this point a little bit. The Rambam we saw before holds that the Kenyan She'etain is not Chal. Right? So the way that the... Okay, this thing, where this deal with the Tur to say that the Rosh is disagreeing with the Rambam, the Beisosef is uncomfortable with it, so is the Prisha. The way the Prisha kind of formulates it, he explains it basically saying, the Lashon of the Rambam seems to be sounding a little bit like a Kenyan She'etain. A Kenyan She'etain is a Kenyan Dvar. We know the Rambam himself, Dafka, doesn't say the Kenyan She'etain isn't a Kenyan Dvar, and therefore it wouldn't be Chal. So So like, what's pshat? Meaning the way.
He's asking the same thing, right?
Yeah. So how, the way the priest is asking has to formulate what the Torah is saying is that basically the Torah is saying that the Rambam is contradicting himself in a way, which is.
Okay. So the question that the Nosei Kelim on the Torah point out, they raise the question whether the Torah understood the Rambam correctly.
Right.
That's the basis. The basis is that the Torah misunderstood the Rambam, and that the Rambam does not distinguish between Shutfin, a pre-existing Shutfin, and creating Shutfas. And the Prisha says it is that the Rambam is being very careful that if we are creating shutfas, then this would be kinyan devarim. But if we already have a shutfas in place, that, in other words, if we have a shutfas in place and we now are discussing how to divide the shutfas, so then the Rambam lowers the standard for what's called a kinyan devarim, or what kinyan is required. Okay, so Avram, that's l'chor the chiluk over here. Okay, but let's go back. I want to focus for a moment on the yesod over here. Right, the yesod is, again, a kinyan she'eti. I express that I'm going to provide something. I express I'll give you a matana. I express I'm going to pay for something. I express we are not partners yet, and I'm expressing my involvement in the partnership. All right, but we don't transfer any money. So at what point is my kinyan binding? So the Ravid says, once I say a kinyan she'etein, right, a kinyan, we know from the Gemara that a kinyan, let's say a kinyan livnos, a kinyan that we will build, that's not binding. A kinyan lachloik, without any further discussion, not binding. A kinyan she'etein, a set amount, the Rabbi says that's already binding. And we are assuming right now, as Ephraim pointed out, but I think, unless we have a raya otherwise, we're going to go with this. This is certainly the Ksoisim's pshat, that the Rif holds that a kinyan she'etein is not, I need to have a kinyan that I'm meshabed myself. All right? The Ravid holds, I don't need a kinyan l'shabed. I don't need a kinyan l'chayev. Kinyan she'etein works. I'm a chayev myself. And the Gaonim hold that a kinyan she'etein doesn't work. So now we can, the Rambam spells out what the issue is. We learned the Rambam, right? The Rambam spells out that kinyanim requires smichus das. We explained that in the Rambam Mechira Perikei, and the Rambam Mechira Yud Aleph explains to us that any kinyan that does not represent that a person is all in, so that's not a kinyan. Any kinyan that doesn't represent that a person has, we call the smichas das. So, for example, the Rambam's example over here is that we make a contingency, right? I will sell you this home. Etin lechomana, kinyan she'etin. Ektin l'chom bayis, right? The Rambam says, if I say im yikach, when I want to sell, I'll sell to you for 100 mana. Im yikach or im tasekach, im lo yikach. So there, the Rambam says that you don't know if there's gemiras das for this to come through, because maybe I think it's not going to happen. The Gemara's case, I say, if I sell the house, I'm selling to you for 100 zuz. So the Rambam says, in that case, you can't count on the 100 zuz. Because you can't count on getting this house for 100 zuz. Because in my mind, I'm not thinking of selling. Person comes into partnership. And he says, when he retires, the deal is the building's all yours. Right? So now, then make a kinyan on it. So according to Rambam, it's not a kinyan. There's no shvuach as das. The guy, 5 years before he retires, he brings his son in as another partner. So the guy says, well, when does this happen? Right? We were a partner. The deal was a new rich. I said, you're right, but I always had in mind that before I retire, I'm going to bring in my son as a partner. So Rambam says that was never a binding agreement. Asiyas HaYosher V'Atov could be different. Vinas Chasidus could be different. Right? But in terms of what's a binding agreement on which I can count on. So that's that the Rambam says that if a kinyan represents smichas das, all in, it works. But if I look at this agreement and I say, he's making commitment 20 years from now, he's not retirement, he's never going to retire. Or when he retires, we don't know how the partnership's going to look. So we all understand that there's no smichas das. The Rambam is saying, it's not that anybody's cheating over here. Nobody's doing a... But both parties have to understand that they're making a commitment to something to which they're not really committing. That it's not really a commitment. It's a plan, it's an intent. It's an expression of something, expression of intent. But an expression is not a commitment. So I then become foolish if I plan my finances around the fact that you made, right? If I start thinking about, well, the guy is in 40 years, he's for sure got to retire. In 40 years, for sure this building. So now I make a business plan based on having this building. So that was an inappropriate step for me to make. So that's what the Rambam is saying, that we now understand the litmus test is, was there smichas das or not? So the Rambam says, I kinyan she'etain, not smichas das there. Even a kinyan. That's an expression of intent. That's an expression that he really wants to do it. He loves it. He wants to provide the singer at your wedding. That's what he loved to do. But did he obligate himself? No. However, the Torah says, if I say I owe you this, that's derech haydah. That's the way businessmen set up obligations. So it's derech haydah, a kinyan, and a derech haydah is if you come to court and you have a shtar that says, I owe you, that's enforceable. You have a shtar, I'm going to give you something that's unenforceable. You have a shtar that says, I owe you, that means that base and gum and collect from my nechosim. If you kinyan she'etein, what's base and gum enforce? They can't collect from anything. I'll give you my car. And if I pre-sold my car, nothing, right? But if I say, I owe you a car, I owe you this, so then basically you can collect. So according to Rambam, the determining factor of whether of kinyan devarim is kinyan devarim is an expression without a smichas das. There's no meeting of the minds, there's no commitment. Again, commitment is not the best word. Smichas das is the best word. Das, right? If you hold that a kinyan she'etein is binding, right? So what is a kinyan live noise kinyan that we're going to build this together? That's for sure not binding. The Gemara is not binding, right? And under the kinyan, the Gemara says, a kinyan that I will sell you my house for 100 zuz, not binding. Right? So the Rambam says, Nesmichas das. But the Ravid says, a kinyan, live nice, not binding. A kinyan, lechalek, not binding. A kinyan that I will sell you my house, not binding. But a kinyan, she'etein, mesayim zuz, binding. What happened? Why is the kinyan she'etein binding? What do we say?
Something that for the kinyan, it's kind of miyada, and that's what I was talking about, it's chal onto something.
So the Rabbi makes this distinction would be is whether there is a defined item or not. A kinyan live nice, I'll build something, but there's no wall here. There's nothing for the kinyan to be chal on. Right? A kinyan she'etein masayim zuz, there's something for it to be chal on a zuz. So the Rambam, the Ravid says that the way we would understand the Ravid could easily be that the Ravid and the Rambam are disagreeing as to what creates smichas das. Is smichas das created by having a defined object on which the kinyan can be chal, or is smichas das created by creating a ischayivus, giving you a something in which the something from where you can collect, right? And that's the L'chor of the Ktsoisis approach that we discussed last week. Achrayas, a kinyan has to create achrayas. He has to create a backup. And we could bring in another, the Rav Avram Erlinger Zatzal brings a raya to this for the Ktsois, because the Rambam writes that the basis for the standard for creating a commitment in halacha is an orev. An orev is a guarantor. Halacha is that if I guarantee a loan, then I'm obligated. Why am I obligated? Reuven's lending money to Shimon. Now Reuven says to Shimon, I can't lend you money unless I have a guarantor. This happens all the time in Eretz Yisrael. They lend money with a guarantor, and then the guy defaults, and then they go to the guarantor, and the guarantor says, I need the money. And you wouldn't give the money if it wouldn't sign the shtar. But why? But I never really thought I was going to pay for this, right? Why would I pay for this? I can't even afford paying a dira for my own kids. So why would I sell? I'm guaranteeing tens of thousands of dollars for somebody else's property. It feels very common. The banks would not lend without a guarantor. So therefore, there are people who want to be nice guys. And they realize that the only way that their friend can marry off their child is they borrow money. And they can't get them without a guarantor. So they figure, ach, nasa skala, it's a big mitzvah. I'll sign the shtar. Right? It's the easiest way to do it, just signing a shtar. Right? And then, 10 years later, the bank collects their house because they're in Orev. Happens. That's why Shlomo Melch said not to be an Orev. Okay. He had a cousin who people often come to because he wasn't a rich person, he was a yeshiva guy. So in order to get he didn't know how to get out of the situation, so the people asked him to be a guarantor. So he said, I don't know if he said, I have a tzava, I have a mesera, never to be a guarantor. Tach mekublani. That's another guy's a mesera. A minig mishpacha. He has this rebbe told him, whatever he does, I forget what nusach he used. What did he say? So he said to me, because Shlomo HaMelech says, he can never guarantee a loan. So he said, So the Rambam says, you never guarantee a loan because you're chayiv, because you're on the hook for it. So the Rambam says, what happened over here? I just said, I'm not getting anything because you created a shibud aguf. Once you created a shibud, and the Torah says you created a shibud aguf by Reuven borrowing money from Shimon, Levi can create a shibud aguf. That's the din. No benefit. The benefit he gets, some say there is a benefit because I feel good that I'm able to help out my neighbor, that they trust me, they don't trust him. So some say that hanoah is what creates the ischayivus. But the Rambam writes, you see, you can create ischayivus by establishing achrayas. That's the ksais. That's where Erlinger brings a raya to the ksais. If I create achrayas, I create ischayivus. That's the lashon of the Rambam. So, that's one way to learn Pshat and the Machlokes. Machlokes between the Rambam, the Ravid, and the Gaonim. between the Rambam and the Ravid is everybody agrees that a kinyan represents Michas Das. The question is, what creates the smichas das required for the Torah to impose the kinyan? Is the smichas das created by my ability to focus on a set amount, on a specific item? Does that create smichas? It has to be chal on something? Or is it that the smichas das is created by having his chayivus, that I am obligating myself and creating a shibud aguf? And that would come from this sugya. And that's what the Ktzai says. So let's finish up with the Shari Yosha. Shari Yosha says a different mahalach to understand the machlokes for Shenem Ogid, but it's a very pretty mahalach. Shari Yosha of Shimon Shkop. Rav Shimon Shkop did not write a sefer alone. The sefer was written primarily by Rav Shechter's father-in-law. That he was a Talmud of Rav Shimon, and he had very, very clear his ability to write. Was very gifted, and so apparently he was the primary author. And you see that Shari Yosha is very clear. It's a sefer, and the Shari Yosha is a different kind of a sefer. In Klal Yisrael, we sometimes svarim. You're familiar with the Shev Shmaitze, a sefer that discusses a large topic in halacha. So it's the Shev Shmaitze Sveikus, Chazokas. How does the Torah instruct us to function without full information? That's the Shev Shmaitze. The Shari Yosher is more the underpinnings of Choshen Mishpat, the Yisaitis of Choshen Mishpat. And he arranges the halacha around, it's a conceptual approach. It's a very, very pretty sefer. Very beautiful sefer. Rav Shimon himself, it's late now, we'll discuss once who Rav Shimon was. Rav Shimon was one of the towering figures in Lumdus. There are two towering, Rav Chaim and Rav Shimon. The two towering figures in Lumdus. Every so often we have Talmidim who moved from one to the other, Rav Chanan moved from one to the other. But they were seen as passionately opposed. They were seen as like opposing forces in Lumnus. In terms of the broader world, they were in the same camp. They were in Litvisha conceptual Lumnus, right? Whereas other parts of Europe learned much differently. Some focus much more on Rabbi Akiva Eiger's and the Marshas and working through various lishitases. So it began probably in Ger with the Chiddush Arim and then the Sochet of Eglei Tal. And at the same time in Lithuania with Rav Shimon and Rav Chaim. So, as we said last week, but whereas Rav Chaim develops the machlokes as we've developed until now, in other words, we saw the Rambam says smichas das. So Rambam, we have clarity in the Rambam. We can identify the Rambam shita because he spells it out. And then once you see the Rambam in Mechir Yid Aleph, you can go back to Mechir and understand Mechir Hay. Right? But the Rambam spells it out. So that's a brisk malach. Find the lashon, and that's it. And then that'll be it. Able to come back to Akzois, and Erlanger took us back to another Rambam of Orev. So, the Mahalach of Rav Shimon is much more to work out the Machshav. So, Rav Shimon explains to us that the purpose of a kinyan, Yidvei Kinyanim lahachlif ulachadesh koyach shlita shel odem al hachefetz. Where is Kinyan born in Allah? In other words, we're discussing Kinyan in a borrowed context. We want to make a commitment. But if you, when you learn Kinyan, where did you learn Hilchos Kinyan? In what context? Where is the home home base for kinyanim. Go ahead.
Okay,
yeah. In English?
Like, is this...
No, what? Buying and selling. Transfer ownership. Right. Transfer ownership, right. If you learn Kiddushin first, we don't usually talk about that in the... whether by Kiddushin being transfer ownership, but even in Kiddushin, that's a discussion amongst the Achrayim, how to understand the Kinyan by Kiddushin. Not for that's a small... Also, that's major Chakir Kiddushin. However, when you learn Kinyanim, whether it's the later part of the first paragraph of Kiddushin, or whether it's an Azov, so Kinyanim are always transfer of property. Meshicha, you're transferring the para, right? Hagbah, you're transferring the elephant, right? The Tosus, right? The Kinyan Suder, transferring the Chometz in modern times. Kinyan is always, and as I mentioned last week, quoting my high school Rebbe, that a Kinyan is to determine when is this binding, what time do I actually take on liability, do I actually become obligated. So the Rav Shimon says, let's go back to the headquarters, let's go back to the home base. Where did the Kinyan come from? Transfer of property. Kinyan is to give Koyach Shlita Shal Odom Al HaChayfetz. And once I make a kinyan in this jacket, so then avolum yitzdarech ol the ritzon of bailam akoyd mel nasakim adam a kinyan. The definition of a kinyan is that I sell you this laptop and we're done. We part ways. You cannot come back to me afterward and say, made a mistake, didn't want this. You resell, we can resell. But the kinyan is done. So the concept of a kinyan is finality. The concept of a kinyan is that I can go forward knowing this property is mine. I can sell this property. If without making a kinyan the property, I can't sell it. Why? Because if I sell it to Zvulun, so then you're going to come to, you're going to go to Zvulun and say, you sold my property. He had no right to sell it. We never made a kinyan on it. We talked about it. We discussed it. We never made a kinyan. So Reuben never made a kinyan. It still belongs to Reuben. So if Shimon sells it, That's fraud. So the point of a kinyan is to give shlita, and now I can do stuff with that. I can change it. I sell a piece of property. I'm not going to sink a shovel in that property if you can come back to me in 3 years and say, "Whoa, it's my property." I'm not going to build on it. So the purpose of a kinyan in headquarters, where it's defined, is to give me control. Give me control means we are done. You can never come back and say, right, before any of your parents bought property, what do they do? What's one of the steps before you buy a piece of property?
Title check.
Right, title. Right? A title search. To find out, is this guy the real owner? Are there liens against this? Because if you buy a piece of property, and then 5 months, a guy knocks on your door and says, this property is guaranteeing a loan that the previous guy made. So you can't do anything with the property, you're stuck. So the purpose of a kinyan, and that could be a mekachtos, right? And that could unravel the kinyan, because that kinyan did not give you shlita over the property. So if a kinyan doesn't give shlita, that kinyan did not move the property out of Reuven's, because he had a lien against it, because it was committed to another loan. So that's not a case of kinyan, make achtos, right? We make a kinyan in something, and make a kinyan in a car, and they make a clear mekachtos, it's missing a wheel, right? Missing a driver. So it's something that without this you would not buy. It's a clear mekachtos. So that kinyan is invalidated because I'm not accepting shlita over this object. You saw me something that we didn't agree to. Ram would talk about Rav Shimon's das. So says Rav Shimon, the purpose of a kinyan is to separate buyer and seller. The purpose of a kinyan is to tell buyer, seller is out of not part of the world anymore. You own it. So he says, whenever you have a kinyan lachlok, then you haven't. Or a kinyan livnos, you haven't given anybody a full shlita over anything. And die in Soshiyah Rotzin Yimena Lakhda. It's a Kinyan She'ete. I will give you. That doesn't accomplish what the Kinyan is supposed to accomplish. Why? Because you still need the guy to give it. I make a Kinyan that I will build. You have not separated buyer and owner. Right? So since you haven't given full shlita to somebody, so the Kinyan is not chal. Because what the Kinyan is supposed to accomplish. A Kinyan She'ete, I will provide. You still need me to provide that. And if I don't provide it, you accomplish nothing. And you can't go, I give you a kinyan, I will give you 200 zuz. Alright? So I haven't made a kinyan on it, even though I made a kinyan on it. Because you can't get the 200 zuz unless I come and give it to you. So if that's the case, I have not accomplished what a kinyan is supposed to accomplish. So, the Rav Shimon says that's the difference between a kinyan devarim and a kinyan. So Rav Shimon explains that's why the Ravid would say even if I make a kinyan she'etein 200 zuz. So the kinyan, that's what the Gonim would say. The kinyan is not chal because that's not what the purpose of a kinyan is. As long as what's the litmus test? As long as you have not gained control or shlita over something, so then the kinyan is not chal. As long as you cannot function now, without some further action of the makne, the kinyan isn't chal. Right? So that would explain that would explain the machlekes between the those who hold that you read. I'm being careful because I don't think the Rambam necessarily accepts this mahalach. But those who hold that a kinyan she'etein does not work, and it's because they say that if you go back to the basis for kinyan, the basis for kinyan is creating sole ownership over something. And if you don't provide that, if you still require the magnet to do something, that's not what a kinyan is supposed to accomplish. All right. Now, so what's bothering you now is, can you ever have a kinyan in shutfus, according to Rav Shimon? What does it mean to have a kinyan in partnership? Right? So l'chora, Rav Shimon works in partnership also. What does that mean? It means that if we decide we are going to build something together, so then that's just an expression of intent. I can't move forward and build the wall without you coming forward and putting money down. And on the other hand, once we put money together and there's money in the pot, so then I can move forward and build the wall. There's money there. I don't need you to do anything there. You've expressed your consent by putting money. So each member of the partnership can move on. We may have contingencies that we have to talk to each other. Makes sense, right? But let's take an easy case. Silent partner and active partner. It's an easier case. So the guy says, I'm willing to invest. So when can I actually count on, when can I say that we made a kinyan, he is bound to the partnership? He puts the money in. If he says, I will put money into it, so the Rav Shimon would say, that's a kinyan dvarim. Because I still need the makne. He has to do something. It's only when I can go forward and the makne has walked away from it, he's put the money in, that's when I, the shutev, can move forward with the binding nature of the. So Hayotzimi calls that we're holding right now in the sugya. I think we'll go on to the next sugya now. Is we could say, if you want to crisply formulate this, the easiest way to formulate is Machlegus, Sois, and Reb Shimon. We know from our sugya. We know from our sugya that a kinyan can be done and it cannot be binding. How you talking? Because a kinyan live nois, a kinyan lechalek, that the Gemara says a non-binding kinyan. Gemara Nevada Zara, Ayin Aleph. You can remember because Ayin Aleph stands for what is a little. But the Gemara Nevada Ayin Aleph, that a guy says, I will sell my house for 100 zuz. Not binding. I have to make a kinyan on it. Has to be a kinyan mechira with the tanai. But other than that, not binding. So we know the Gemara says you can make a kinyan, it's not binding. When does a kinyan become binding and not binding? So we can, if you want clarity, we want to give a crisp way of summarizing the shir. So it says only a kinyan which creates an achrayas a shibud. Reb Shimon says a kinyan which separates the two parties and allows the party to function separately. The Reb Shimon's understanding is, let's go to where kinyanim are originally defined. The Ktsois, I would suggest, would say the underlying principle of kinyan is smichas das. So when is smichas das provided? Right, if one wants to summarize the sugya a little bit more complex, so one would say that there's a machlekes rishonim in what our Gemara established. Our Gemara established that a kinyan live nice, a kinyan lachalek is a kinyan devarim. What's the get of a kinyan devarim? So that is best expressed by the machlekes rishonim about a kinyan she'etein. What's the hesber of whether, whether Rav would say kinyan shetein is good because it's chal on something very specific. And the Rambam would say kinyan shetein is not good enough. Hesber advarim is that the Rav says that as long as my mind can be chal on something specific, there's smichas das. And the Rambam would say that the smichas das is only created by his chayvus, by achrayus. Okay, so we haven't yet found a rishon who says like the Reb Shimon said, the Yad Ramah and our sugya. If you look at Yad Ramah carefully, the Yad Ramah has several svaras, and one svar is mamish like the Reb Shimon. So we would line it. We've shown him as Machlekes, Ravid, Rambam, Ramah, Ravid, Gonim, and Rambam in the same spot, and Ramah, with the Ramah explaining the Gonim Shita, based on Reb Shimon. That's how we wanted to find where the Shitas are in the Rishonim. Okay?
Is there a way to explain the Ravid according to Reb Shimon?
Be difficult. Because the Ravid distinguishes between whether it's a Dover Mesuyim or not. I would say that they're holding like the Ktsois, not the Gibshon. Right? I would not explain the Gaon according to Gibshon.
Right, yeah. Gibshon, he's seemingly only works for the Rambam. The Rambam says it's only when you have all the money together and that, like, everyone has, when they pull their money and they're ready to go, so done.
Right.
The money's all there, and that transfers ownership.
Right. Okay. I agree with you. That's, and I agree that the that would be a classic issue between Brisk and Reb Shimon is because Reb Shimon's a beautiful svara, but doesn't fit the language of the Rambam.
Why wouldn't it fit with the Gaonim?
Because the Gaonim say that that a shivud works, a chayvus works.
Shiva doesn't help for Shimon. He made the transfer of money.
Couldn't say that? That the Shiva kind of makes you, it gives you enough of a level of shlita over the thing that that's fine? It's a stretch, but it doesn't, I would say it doesn't not work.
Okay. Okay.
That it gives you like a level, the right is problematic with the Shimon, but the but the Gaonim, you can say, is that being, you know, the Shibud HaGuf is making you enough of an owner of the thing that maybe not 100% that you can now sell the property, but it makes you enough of it that it's considered a kinyan, yeah. If you really break it down.
See, the emphasis is that with the holding the Tzais of Reb Shimon, the Mahalach of Reb Shimon, which is very, what's compelling about Reb Shimon's Mahalach? Is that, let's go to where kinyan are defined. So the Tzoyis and Reb Chaim would say the same thing, but they would just say kinyan are defined because they provide smichas das. They're not defined. Kinyan are defined in the transfer of property. So Reb Shimon would say because that gives you total shlita over something, and Reb Chaim would say it gives you total shlita because you have smichas das, and smichas das becomes a defining aspect of kinyan. All right.
Rabbi said that if we say like a, if we make a kinyan, I'm going to sell a house for X amount of money. Rabbi said that doesn't work. Why wouldn't that work according to the Rabbi? Because you're pointing to, you're saying I'm going to sell this house. You have something tangible. Like, why won't that work?
How would the Rabbi explain the Gemara Avodah Zarah?
Is it because the price is set, so like you can't
more of this that moment, and so I have to look it up to be sure. But the rabbi would say not sure, but I think that the rabbi said there's an extra contingency over there. Kinyan she'etein means I'm going to do this. The kinyan by the house is when I sell it, I will sell it to you for 100 zuz. So he's not saying a kinyan, I'm going to give you this house for.
If I sell it, then I'll sell
right.
It.
Right. So I think that, according to the rabbi, said that's where the lack of smichas das comes in. Brian?
I don't understand how to say that the Rishimin falls under the Rambam based on, it's based on the Smith's Das. Rishimin doesn't necessarily,
Rishimin's correct. Rishimin's explanation explains the conclusion of the Rambam. But since the Rambam explained himself already, it's unnecessary for the Rambam. The Yad Ramah, who comes to the same conclusions as the Rambam, comes to the conclusions via the Reb Shimon. So I don't think Reb Shimon satisfactorily explains. I don't think Reb Shimon is necessary for the Rambam. But Reb Shimon's idea is we do find in the Yad Ramah Arsugya.
Right. No, I just
remember
explaining a minute ago that it was right. That's like the Reb Shimon is finding what Kinyan is, and then the Ketosis would say, Reb Chaim would say that that's because of Smichas Das. But I don't understand how. I mean, if Smichas Das can come without there being, without Rabbi, I think said that the parties have to be independent of each other. That like they
right.
can walk away, like
yeah.
everything's already happened. Like there can be Smichas Das without that happening. So like meaning like that there can be a case of I can have Smichas Das that something's going to happen, but we're not independent yet. It hasn't happened. So I don't think Rosh Hashanah would always fall under the camp of Rambam.
Right. No, correct. Yeah. Yeah. We think I agree with this.
Didn't Rabbi say before there was a steer on the Rambam? Like someone said there was a steer on the Rambam?
Okay. So it gets too late for that. But it could be that Okay, once the Rambam says smichas das, it's still hard to say that the Rambam shouldn't align to the Rambam. There's a machlokes achronim whether the Rambam sees shutvas as different than regular kinyanim. Okay, well, let's leave that for now. What Sam was referring to before as a machlokes between the Prisha and the Beis Yosef, that's a machlokes where the shutvas has a separate than making kinyanim. All right, let's hold off because we have a lot of shutvas sugyas coming up. Okay. I have to keep doing the testing there. Daniel. I know, you didn't test that yesterday.